I have to say that is perhaps one of the most exciting hymn arrangements that we have in our tune book. Those three verses with such contrasting harmonies. It's great to lead and it's great to play, and I know that it's great to sing to as well. So we opened our meeting this morning with Psalm 150, which closes with, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And in essence, that song which we've just shared together sums up to some degree the first point that I'd like to share with you this morning. And that's from creation's start, when the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, as we read in Job, to its concluding days, when every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them, from Revelation, will sing to the Lamb on the throne. Creation is full of music. Throughout the Old and the New Testaments, we read of music playing a prominent role in worship. Songs of praise, such as that sung by Moses and Miriam and the Israelites having crossed the Red Sea. Songs of lament, such as those found in Psalm 60 and 80 and others, which teach us that we are not unique in questioning why the all-powerful God might seem sometimes to be distant from us. In the books of Chronicles, we read of the appointment and service of the members of the tribe of Levi. In 2 Chronicles 5, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Music is a gift of God, part of creation from beginning to end. And as such, it's right to dedicate and give it back to him. Those verses from 2 Chronicles a moment ago give an indication that singing is key. The instruments are there to support the singing. In modern usage, people will often say musicians and singers. Something which, as a singer, you can tell has riled me for years. But in Chronicles, we read the trumpeters and musicians. The musical emphasis is most certainly on the singing. As bandmaster, perhaps my role needs to change a little there. But still, music it all is. Karl Barth, who was a Swiss Reformed theologian of the first half of the 20th century, wrote this: "The Christian church sings. It's not a choral society. Its singing is not a concert. But from inner material necessity, it sings. Singing is the highest form of human expression," he writes. "What we can and must say quite confidently is that the church which does not sing is not the church. And where it does not really sing, but sighs and mumbles spasmodically, shamefacedly and with an ill grace, it can be at best only a troubled community which is not sure of its cause and of whose ministry and witness there can be no great expectation." He continues, "The praise of God, which finds its concrete culmination in the singing of the community, is one of the indispensable forms of the ministry of the church." I remember attending a wedding some 15 years or so, I suppose, where the traditional arrangement of friends of the bride on the left and friends of the groom on the right led to a severe imbalance in congregational singing. The freedom with which we sing in worship at the Salvation Army was clearly demonstrated that particular day, and many times visitors to our church here have commented on the strength of our hymn singing, not as Bart put it, sighing and mumbling spasmodically, but singing confidently with enthusiasm and with true spirit. So the use of music in worship is grounded in biblical precedent, and the purpose of church music is for the glory of God. John Calvin cautioned that we should be very careful that our ears be not more attentive to the melody than our minds to the spiritual meaning of the words. And that view was very much picked up by Matt Redman as he examined how the congregation at his church in Watford was struggling to find meaning in its music in worship at that time. He recalls, there was a dynamic missing, so the pastor did a pretty brave thing. He decided to get rid of the sound system and band, as in guitars and stuff, clearly not the brass band, for a season, and we gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship, and the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Reminding his church family to be producers in worship, not just consumers, the pastor, Mike Pilavachi, asked, when you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as your offering to God? Matt says the question initially led to some embarrassing silence, but eventually people broke out into a cappella singing and heartfelt prayers, encountering God in a fresh way. Matt Redman continues, before long we reintroduced the musicians and sound system as we'd gained a new perspective that worship is all about Jesus. And he commands a response in the depths of our souls, no matter what the circumstance and setting. The song, the heart of worship, simply describes what occurred. And so it comes back to this. Music is a gift from God, used by creation from the very beginning to sing praise to him. The weekly challenge for those who lead musical sections in church, whether Salvation Army or not, is to make sure that whenever we play or sing, whether supporting congregational singing or presenting a piece of music to listen to and reflect on, that the music we share is truly an offering back to God of the gift he has given us. When we sing congregationally, we may feel physical and mental uplift from the experience. After all, studies have shown that singing strengthens the immune system, improves your posture, lowers stress levels, and improves mental alertness, which is why the songsters are as healthy as they are. However, we must take care that it is the spiritual meaning of the words and the act of worship that is at the heart of the activity, not the music itself, nor the physical nor mental response.